Hello there, my name is Lewis James, and I'm a composer, video game music enthusiast, and all-round nerd. Now, video game music has always inspired me and fascinated me throughout my life. For anyone that's counting, that's almost 30 years. The ability to immerse myself in different worlds, stories, and environments, and have the music act as a gateway to these mystical places never ceases to amaze me. So many boundaries have been broken in such a short space of time because of this medium. I invite you to join me as I analyze some of the greatest video game soundtracks of all time. Welcome to My Melodies of Life. Not a lot of fans in the Tekken franchise necessarily hold this title in high regard. A one step forward, two steps back kind of game, if you will. But the music has its own special charm, and I'm definitely not letting this one slip. Whether you like it or not, we are diving into the music of Tekken 4. The level of changes that Tekken 4 introduced were significant in hindsight. Walled stages, the ability to move around in between rounds, and a much darker tone in regards to the story. Fans didn't have long to wait, with the release of Tekken 4 becoming available for Western audiences in 2002. It also didn't take long for fans to keep their distance from the game as well, citing balancing issues that affected competitive play. However, because of that, the music ended up being largely forgotten about for the most part. That stops here, because the music is substantial. All of the composers from Tekken Tag Tournament have come back for the canon sequel. But before we go into the music itself, we need context, as always. Time for the story recap. Two years after the events of Tekken 3, Heihachi Mishima fails to splice Ogre's genes with his own, with the aim of making him immortal. G Corporation, a cutting-edge biotech firm, is now in possession of the body of Kazuya Mishima. Heihachi, after learning about this, has sent his Tekken force to retrieve Kazuya's remains, only for the entire unit to be wiped out. By Kazuya himself. Seeing this as an opportunity, Heihachi announces the King of Iron Fist Tournament 4 to lure out both Kazuya and Jin Kazama, who has distanced himself from anything to do with the Mishima bloodline, including its fighting style. What was played during the synopsis is the music used during the introductory cinematic, titled A Fist for a Fist. The initial drone and subsequent harmonies already give you some expectations going into the story proper. The series is heading towards its adolescent phase in regards to a saga's natural maturity. More serious themes are being explored now, but we still have for hyperactive percussion and saxophone solos later on, proving to us that the franchise has not forgotten its roots. Heading into the soundtrack proper, stage themes link to a certain character are now mostly gone. All that remains is the selection of stages that explore different international environments, and stages linked to the sub-boss and final boss. But we're jumping the gun a bit here. Let's explore the character select theme first. This is Jet. hardly any percussion at all. This is primarily an electric guitar piece with a synthesizer providing the harmony. This is a huge step in an entirely new direction compared to previous character select themes that we have listened to. The title does fit the bill, however. The piece does remind me of a plane about to take off and going through final preparations, but it doesn't remind me of setting off for a tournament. So I can understand why fans aren't so fond of this music, but this soundtrack's lows comes with some incredible highs. Let's look at some. A techno piece led by a didgeridoo titled Didgerhythm. Genius. It's a ceremonious instrument that primarily plays singular note drones. I'm surprised that nobody of note, at least in my area of expertise, has thought about adding a mixture of synthesizer and brass harmonies and a strong techno percussion beat. It writes itself. A brass quartet provides most of the harmonious legwork, representing the strong ska influence that Australia has, along with ancestral aspects of the didgeridoo. I always love when old and new mingle together and resulting in something unique. It keeps making me think of this as a form of acceptance of the new from the old, if that makes sense. The majority of this soundtrack keeps that momentum going as well. Here's another example. From the wild and free to the corporate and monitored. This is a piece titled Authentic Sky. The stage this represents is an airport terminal, so a lot of electronic musical influences are going to be present here. The piano may be the only exception. I know some pianos are available for anyone to play on certain train stations and airports, so it's understandable as to why this instrument is included here. In my personal opinion, it does sound more like an ode to swimming rather than flying. Oh, speaking of swimming, who's up for another trip to the beach? Beach parties that are mainly associated with American youth culture focus on music, casual sport, and making memories. This music, titled Kitsch, is what I believe to be typically played during those kinds of scenarios. Not too hyped, but not too chilled out. Not too flashy, but not too simple. You can listen to it lying down or dancing around, and still have the same effect. Perfect for a dance like Capoeira, and for newcomer to Tekken at the time, Christy Montero. I know stages and characters aren't always linked, but I couldn't think of anyone else to compare it to. Okay, that's enough positivity. Let's take a look at a couple of pieces that show the more dark and serious side of Tekken before we wrap up. These pieces bring out such an aura, I believe they would make good walk-on music for someone in some sort of combat sport. The first one of those that I want to bring up is the sub-boss arena music for any character that isn't primary to the game's main story. Fear. The stage is a small industrial corridor that has been isolated with two blast doors blocking each end and a white, dry ice-like mist covering the floor. Kazuya Mishima, now back from the dead, stands in your way. This is a moment that leaves my hair standing up every time I witness it. Your character is pretty much trapped at this point, and the only way out is by fighting someone who just has the power of the devil himself at his disposal. Yeah, I'd be scared out of my wits as well. The music takes a very modern approach to this by adding discordant harmonies at every opportunity possible, with a melody that doesn't quite fit with the key, but also does. Basically, there's an uncanny valley situation at play here. You're not too sure if what you're hearing was right or not. And there's nothing scarier than the fear of what you don't understand. The last piece I want to show you is for a stage that's easily accessible in the game, but is used as the final stage of every character linked to the Mishima bloodline, the Honmaru Temple. The music that accompanies this stage is a piece titled The Inner Shrine. Any historic landmark, building when quiet, can be creepy, especially when one is alone. You still feel like you're being watched, despite no one else being in the immediate vicinity. That's the vibe I'm getting from the beginning of this piece. It's split into three main sections from what I can hear. You have Section A, when the tuned percussion is primarily heard, Section B, that's dominated by a bass guitar, and Section C, which calls back to the introduction to A Fist for a Fist. It's like the music is warning us that the ongoing clash that we're seeing and playing will be the catalyst for every major event to come in subsequent titles. I personally played Tekken 4 retrospectively, so I only have this idea with hindsight to guide me. I can only imagine what players must be thinking about this music at the time of release. Either way, it made sure that was worth remembering. As I said before, the music can get very experimental in this game, sometimes to the game's detriment, by putting all their eggs in a proverbial basket when it comes to genre and vibe. But there are quite a few hidden gems in the soundtrack, and I only gave you a sample of what's on offer. You can easily find the soundtrack on a music streaming platform. Pop this one on whenever you're on a drive, walk, or commute. You won't be disappointed. Now I can go one of several ways for the next episode, or next few episodes. Tekken 5, at least the console version, is technically two games in one. We have the main game, of course, but we also have the built-in minigame, The Devil Within, and the Dark Resurrection standalone update, all with their own unique soundtracks. I do want to dedicate an episode for each, but I don't know if you'd find that engaging compared to one big episode. I'll have time to think about that whilst I get ready for it all. Please rate, review, and subscribe to My Melodies of Life wherever you're listening to it. And be sure to check out my website, lewisjamesmusic.com, where all of my portfolio and links to my social media can be found. I'll be doing a small overhaul whenever I get enough time out of my busy schedule, so be sure to keep an eye out for the resulting website. Now, if you excuse me, I need to figure out how to talk about Tekken 5 without gushing about Moonlit Wilderness for 20 minutes. This has been a Lewis James production of My Melodies of Life.